Well, the glamorous Venice Biennale is one of the most prestigious art events in the world. And for the artists selected to represent the country, it's a career-defining opportunity, a chance to be seen by directors and curators and collectors from all around the globe. Now, last month, the Australia Council announced that it is changing the way in which the artist who represents Australia is selected. Until now, the artist has been chosen by a commissioner in consultation with a panel of art experts and philanthropists. The Australia Council has decided to open the doors, calling on all artists to submit proposals to the Australia Council for the opportunity to be our next representative. Now, that's a move that's pleased some people in the arts community, but it's angered others, including the philanthropic Balnaves Foundation and former Venice Biennale commissioner and arts philanthropist Simon Mordant. In fact, Mr. Mordant has pulled his financial support from Australia's 2019 exhibition in Venice because of this, and he joins us now. Simon, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Michael.
Now, you've been a very generous patron of Australia's participation in Venice over three decades. In fact, you and your wife were the lead private patrons for the stunning new Australian Pavilion at Venice. So your support runs into the millions of dollars. What's the appeal of Venice to you? Why are you so passionate about this one event?
Well, it's really important for Australia. It is the most important contemporary art exposition in the world. You have curators from all over the world descending on Venice to see what the countries consider to be their best art of the moment. And it's a window for Australia really to showcase and to be seen, because it's really hard for Australian contemporary artists to engage with international curators. And Venice gives them that platform.
Can I ask how much money you're taking off the table?
We've supported the annual, the biannual program for many years, and we made a multi-year commitment when Naomi Milgram was appointed commissioner. And as she has not taken a second term, we've stopped our commitment, as you know.
But you're not putting a figure on it?
No.
Okay. So, Simon, for many years we've had an established way of choosing the artist who represents Australia. Can you just explain to me how that works and what your role in it has been? I think you were a commissioner in 2013.
Yeah, I was commissioner in both 2013 and 2015, so I can talk in terms of the process that I used to select the artist in each of those years. I invited a group of local and international curators to each submit a number of names of Australian contemporary artists that they felt were appropriate to represent Australia in Venice. I'm not a curator. I don't have an arts history education. I'm a passionate advocate, so I didn't feel that I could choose the artist, but I selected people that I respected. They each brought a number of names to the table, and we sat together for many hours debating each of those names until, on each occasion, we unanimously landed on an artist that we felt we should invite. We then invited that artist to make a submission and to propose a curator for their exhibition. And then we met again, we reviewed the submission and reaffirmed our invitation. So the criticism that has been made that the commissioner chose the artist, and the criticism that has been made that the philanthropists chose the artist, is totally wrong. In each of the years that I was commissioner, an expert panel of local and international curators debated and selected the artist.
Simon, just to come at this from outside the passions that are involved in this debate, if you're just looking on from the outside, it does seem to me that the idea that the Australia Council has said, well, this year we're going to let artists nominate themselves and we'll sift through those nominations with a panel of experts, which is primarily what they're suggesting. It sounds to me like that would work well, equally well, and that it has the advantage of seeming open, or of looking open, of giving everyone a chance. Well, why is that such a bad thing? Why isn't that just another way of getting to the same result?
Oh, listen, I think there are two issues. The first issue is that there was no consultation at all with the sector. So, you know, museum directors, curators, long-term stakeholders, there was no discussion with them. I don't have an issue with change. I think everything can be improved, but improvement should happen through a consultation process. So that's the first issue. The second issue is the Australia Council is a grant-making body, and it's a government body, and therefore, generally, the grant should be available through an open expression of interest. I have no issue with that, and indeed, when we built the new pavilion, we invited every architect in Australia to submit their credentials. So generally, I think it's the right way to go. However, in terms of Venice, it's an extremely high-profile commission. It's very important for the artist's career. The artist needs to be able to withstand the pressure and the obligations that go with the commission. And an open expression of interest, in my view, will not attract all the best artists that should be considered. So I don't have a difficulty with an open expression of interest, but it should also have been supplemented with an invitation process so that those artists that did not submit through the open expression of interest would have been contacted and encouraged. Then I would have been much more comfortable.
Can I unpack what you mean, Simon, when you say there was no consultation with the sector? Because I take it that this conversation goes to the heart of what it means to be a philanthropist. Are you saying that you feel that this change takes you and people like you for granted?
It's not just the philanthropists that I'm concerned about. The Council of Australian Art Museum Directors have written to the Australia Council expressing grave concern at the lack of consultation. So it's not just the philanthropists who are upset that they were treated with disrespect, having supported and advocated for Australia for so long. It's a broader group of people that I'm concerned about.
So are you saying that the Australia Council could have introduced this system, the expression of interest process, which they say has been used with great success? I gather it was used to select Patricia Piccinini in 2003 and Judy Watson and Emily King-Warry, who co-represented Australia in 1997. They seem pretty good choices. Are you saying they could have gone to this process if they'd got there by a different route, if they'd taken you along with them?
I think if they'd taken along a wide group of stakeholders, we wouldn't have the situation that we have today, where a number of key financial supporters have withdrawn their support.
So can you describe to me what should have happened then? How would you have seen the conversation going? Rupert Meyer at the Australia Council would have picked up the phone to you and said, "Hey, Simon, what?"
I think he would have said, "We've had this system going since John Caldor. It's operated well. I'd like to consult with past commissioners, past artists who've been represented, curators, and see if the system can be improved. And let's all get together and see if there are better ways of doing things and put everything on the table for discussion."
The Australia Council says, I mean, we did ask them for a response, and a full explanation from them is on our website. But basically they say that the Biennale's changed the rules, and that the new rules say that no independent commissioner can act on behalf of a national participant on a country, and that the title of commissioner must either go to a government agency like the Australia Council or a member of that agency's board.
Well, there are many different models, Michael. What happens in New Zealand is that they appointed a globally respected arts advocate, Jenny Gibbs, to the equivalent of the Australia Council Create New Zealand, and then they made her the commissioner. There is no one on the board of the Australia Council who is deeply engaged in contemporary visual arts and who can advocate for contemporary visual arts internationally and who can draw an audience of curators to the Australian Pavilion. So New Zealand resolved it by putting the commissioner on the Australia Council equivalent. In the US, they don't follow the Biennale directive. The commission is done by an institution that tenders for it. So there are many different ways of doing it. Almost half of the countries have an individual commissioner. like Australia has historically done.
So, Simon, the Australia Council says that the artist will be chosen by a panel of art experts chaired by the Australian artist Callum Morton, who, you know, has form. He's a well-known artist.
Oh, he's a professor.
Yeah, respected artist, though.
Very respected artist.
So is he not equipped to do this job?
I think he and his panel are well equipped to select an artist. The difficulty is the only people they can consider are those who apply through the advert, number one, and there is no longer anyone advocating for Australia in the commissioner's role. So that there are two issues with that.
And so you believe, do you, that leading artists won't throw their hat into the ring because there's something demeaning about the way in which this is being put together?
I think there's a dramatic difference from being invited as a sole artist by a panel. So you know that if you make the right submission, you've got the gig, to applying to an ad and not having any clarity or certainty whether you're going to get through. I think there's a very dramatic difference.
So when you were...
And the type of artists that I think are eligible are going to be extremely busy.
So when you're in the chair, Simon, how many artists would be in contention in any one year?
I think the first year that I was commissioner, there were a panel of seven curators, around that number, don't be precise, and each brought five names. So there was obviously some overlap, but we discussed probably 25 artists in the first year, and in the second year, probably a few more than 25. And that's a large number of artists from the Australian community.
Well, it's a very, very interesting issue, this one. Simon, thank you so much for explaining your position to us so clearly.
I'm delighted, Michael, and happy to chat.
And Simon Mordant is the executive co-chair of Luminous Partners, an arts philanthropist and a former commissioner for Australia at the Venice Biennale. So submissions for applications to be our representative at the 2019 Venice Biennale have just closed, and we'll find out who the lucky artist will be in February. We'll keep you posted on that one, of course. And if you'd like to hear more about what the Australia Council has to say about this, Fran Kelly did a very candid interview with Rupert Meyer, the chair of the Australia Council, a couple of weeks back, and we'll pop a link to that interview on the Books and Arts homepage.